You are listening to the Asking for a Friend podcast, an elder-led ministry of Believers Baptist Church in Emory, Texas. The Asking for a Friend podcast exists as a weekly resource for the edification and knowledge of God's people. My name is Tyler Jones. I'm your host. Thanks for listening in, whoever you may be and wherever you may be. May the Lord bless this podcast to you as a means of grace for your spiritual growth. On the podcast today is Jason Rowland, senior pastor and elder of Believers Baptist Church, and one of the other elders of Believers Baptist Church, Philip Castleton. Jason, since this is the first episode, speak to the reason for the podcast. Why a podcast?
Well, thank you, Tyler. In the opening, you said that the Asking for a Friend podcast is an elder-led ministry of Believers Baptist Church, and that it exists as a weekly resource for the edification and knowledge of God's people. And I would say that it exists for God's people in general, but most specifically for the spiritual growth of the members of Believers Baptist Church. So our particular aim is to resource the lives of the believers that God in His grace has allowed us as elders under the Lord Jesus to be responsible for at Believers Baptist Church. And if outside of Believers Baptist Church, others are edified, then we'll just count that as a gift to us.
Philip, what would you say about the podcast?
Well, the motivation for the podcast has come from some of the members of the church having a desire to ask questions and desire answers about the Bible and Christian life and issues in a venue other than Sunday morning. We often don't have time to answer all those on Sunday morning. And this is an opportunity for us to discuss some common questions that Christians might have. And let me be quick to say that we're not renowned theologians. We're not even known locally as theologians or scholars. And by God's grace, we won't pretend to be, but we are just pastors of a local church who desire to glorify God, exalt Christ, preach the true gospel, and build up God's people.
I think one of the statements from the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith is really the basis of the podcast, what we desire as elders for the podcast to be. And the statement from the Confession of Faith is that the Holy Scriptures are the only sufficient, certain, and infallible standard of all saving knowledge, faith, and obedience. And so, as Philip said just a moment ago, in each episode, we want to address common questions about doctrine, about the church, about Christian life, and Christian issues. And the questions that we'll try to answer will be submitted to us electronically or otherwise. And perhaps it's wise to say at this point that we don't want to assume that our answers or our comments or our thoughts about any given subject are the exclusive thoughts or the exclusive answers, or even that they're comprehensive or exhaustive. But perhaps through our comments and through the answers that we would address to the questions, it would be of some spiritual help and promote further study from any listener.
All right, well, that sounds good. Let's get started then. Philip, the submitted question for today is, why does God want or need us to give Him glory?
Oh, so we start with an easy one. first of all, maybe it's not a good way to phrase the question. God doesn't need anything from us, so He doesn't need us to give Him glory. The fact that that He's given us the opportunity to is an act of grace in itself. But maybe our starting point for answering the question is the perfection of God. If God is the only perfect being, and He is, then all that God does is perfect. And I think the point of the question is probably addressed because many unbelievers would say that it is, they might ask, is God a megalomaniac, or is He, is it selfish for God to seek His own? And if God is the only perfect being, and again, like I said, He is, then it would only be right that He would appeal to that. And something else I was thinking about, in the context of all this, we're told in Scripture that that there is no other way to the Father except through Christ, right? That there, He is the only means under heaven by which men must be saved. Consider this for a second. What if if God, this supreme being, this the creator of all the universe, had made much of his creation instead of himself, it would lend that we too then would look to creation for our satisfaction, our glory, whatever the case may be. And so really it's an act of grace and mercy to us that he makes much of himself, because then we can look to him and make much of him as well. This is exactly what Romans 1 warns us not to do, is to exchange glory that is owed to the Creator and attribute it to the creation. Mm-hmm. So why does God need? He doesn't need. Why is it good that God seeks his own glory? Because ultimately, it's to my benefit. Selfishly, when
it's the means to salvation. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Absolutely,
you.
It is the means of salvation.
Because it points us back to God. If God would have said, I'm going to make much of trees, then we would make much of trees.
Right.
And because we make much of trees, then we might know what a pecan or an oak tree is and those kinds of things. But because he makes much of himself, it draws us to him. We see ourselves in light of who he is, and it shows us the need for a Savior that is necessary.
Absolutely right. I mean, if he makes much of himself, then it would seem that created in his image, I would seek to know what is the highest thing. And if he is the highest thing, that would be where my attention and my satisfaction would come from. I can't be satisfied in anything less. Ultimately, everything that the world seeks to find satisfaction in ultimately works itself out in despair. It fails. It goes away. We seek the things that satisfy our flesh. God says we're always going to fall short in those categories until we look to that supreme thing which we were created to do, and that was to worship God and God alone. And him seeking his glory, even in John 17, he says, Jesus in his high priestly prayer says, Father, glorify your Son, and let me glorify you, and then let them see the glory that we have together and ultimately share in that glory.
You mentioned we were created to reveal God's glory. And that goes all the way back to Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So the whole intention of being created in the image of God is that ultimately we reflect, we display the glory of God. And that's carried all the way from Genesis to Revelation, because finally we find ourselves by the grace of God and the salvation that's given to us in the presence of God, glorified because of the work of Christ and bringing glory to who God is. Mm-hmm. So it's all the way through the text.
It is. And in Scripture. The context of that, it's not just us as human beings that represent or display or magnify his glory. Psalms 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day, it pours out speech and so forth. The point that Psalms 19, and again, Psalms 119 both speak to the same thing, is that God has revealed himself. He's revealed himself in us. He's revealed himself in the rest of creation. And all of that speaks to his glory. All of it ultimately proclaims that he is bigger and better and above all things. Mm-hmm. And if that is what I'm supposed to be satisfied with for all of life, for all of eternity, if that's what I'm supposed to be consumed with, then it is only ultimately satisfying if he makes much of himself so that I can see that he is all of those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, by emphasizing his glory, he really emphasizes the fact that he's a generous, self-giving God who manifests his glory for the purpose of us, for our well-being. And then, as we were saying just a moment ago, we wind up recognizing who he is, and the greatest thought we can have about life or anything is about who God is. And we ultimately wind up in the place where in Romans 8, when we read about the order of salvation mm-hmm. and the final work of God in us is that we would be glorified. This is chapter 8 in Romans, verse 30. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified.
Right.
And so that's the ultimate aim of being created to reflect, to image the glory of God, and we see the work of grace in us in Christ to ultimately be glorified.
Well, I'm glad you brought up grace, too, because in John 17, specifically, he says, it starts off when Jesus had spoken these words, and this is hours before he goes to the cross, right? He's just hours away from going to the cross. He says he's lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. He's speaking of the cross. There's no place in human history, and there's no place that we can see God's glory manifested more than in the cross. Grace to us. If God doesn't glorify himself, by the way, through the if you continue on through this thing, he's ultimately going to be glorified by choosing a people, giving those people to his son redeeming those people, and then ultimately one day turning them back over to the Father. I mean, this is a beautiful picture, but ultimately this glorification, this glory that the Son is longing to see the Father manifest through him and through his death on the cross works itself out to our benefit. That's where the distinction can be made between when I seek my glory, it's always selfish because I'm about me and I am not worthy, right? I'm a sinner, I'm wretched, I'm all those things. And what I do is I exalt myself above everybody else around me when I'm seeking my glory. God says, there is nobody higher than me. So when he seeks his glory, not only is that right and true, but it manifests itself in ultimately grace to me.
It's beneficial to others instead of, whereas glory to yourself would be
beneficial to self.
Beneficial to self.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's always wrong. I mean, we know that from innately, and we know it from the written revelation of God, that to glorify self is wrong.
Yes.
But God is not like us. And we have to keep that in
Thank
mind.
Goodness.
There's a creature and creator distinctive here, right?
Well, yeah, and is it Psalm 51 that actually says that's one of the issues that man has is that we actually think God is like us. And so what the reason that we would think to ourselves, well, for God to glorify himself would be might be selfish or something, that is because what we're doing is I'm projecting what I know about myself mm-hmm. onto God. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, well, I know that when I act selfish, it's wrong. And I know that when Tyler acts selfish, it's wrong. And I know that when Jason acts selfish, it's wrong. So obviously, it must be wrong as well if God says I'm jealous or if God says I seek my glory because we're projecting onto God what we know about ourselves. But Psalms 51, I think, it may be Psalms 50, but one of the two, it says, you thought I was like you. I'm not like you. Yeah. And that, again, we can say, thank you for that.
And we are actually to have joy in God's glory. Mm-hmm. If part of the idea of our reflecting and imaging God's glory is to make much of him, then we ought to have joy in that as believers. There ought to be a sense in which we recognize, again, apart from him, we have nothing and are nothing, and we would find the joy of him manifesting his glory because it ultimately comes to us as benefit in all ways.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, Jason, it may seem elementary, but can you explain glory and glorification and glorified? Because I think it's can be used in culture especially as kind of a vague, those are kind of vague terms that people maybe kind of understand, but what is it? I mean, can you detail that out for us a little bit?
Yes. Well, in the scripture, when we look at, particularly in the Old Testament, and we see that the Hebrew language is manifesting its definition of glory in the idea of heaviness. God is heavy, so that he is weighty. He is a weighty being, if you will, to mm-hmm. contend with and to recognize. And so I think that the idea of glory is to make much of God. Mm-hmm. As we've been saying, maybe in a roundabout way, make much of who God is, because he's heavy, he's weighty, and it's important that we do that. What were your other...
Glorification and glorified, yeah.
Okay. Glorification is about what we were. I've read in Romans chapter 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in 1 Peter, maybe this will help. In 1 Peter, we see he's writing a letter to a bunch of exiles. But in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again." So first of all, here we got the grace of God creating in us new life, right? "To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, an inheritance imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Verse 6, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while." Now, he's talking about the trials and sufferings that accompany this life. "Necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that by the testing of your genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire," listen to this, "may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The glorification, like he said, is the end result of our salvation. We struggle in this life. We're saved from our sins, but through the process of sanctification, we're made more and more like Christ through this life. But never ultimately are we without sin, the presence of sin, the power of sin. The penalty of sin is gone, but those other things don't leave until we are in heaven. We no longer deal with sin. We don't have that issue anymore. But here it says that all of these things that apply to us or that impede us in such in this life are ultimately result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Christ. When he comes back, it says we will see him and we will be like him, right? Mm-hmm. We will get to share in the very glory of God in that time. That's what glorification ultimately means.
So glory is to make God weighty or important priority. Glorified is to be ultimately made as he is.
Yes, to
like
share,
him.
To share
in that.
Yes. Yeah. Undeserved, by the way. You're talking about an act of mercy. The fact is we don't deserve glory, and yet he's going to share his glory with us in that mm-hmm. time.
Okay. So what if somebody said, let yourself be glorified? Does that make sense?
Well, I don't think we have to give permission to God to be glorified.
Yeah, it's kind of what I'm thinking too.
I think what's meant by that is the same thing that Jesus meant in when he's praying in his high priestly prayer. He's not saying, "Father, okay, I'm gonna give you permission to make yourself glorious." I think what he's saying is, the glory that you inherently have, make it manifest in me. So when gotcha. I say let yourself be glorified, I think what I mean by that, if I were to say it, would be saying, "Father, the things that don't come natural to me that make you look so pretty and beautiful and desirous and glory, would you please manifest those things in me in such a way that people look at me and they see how beautiful you are?" Mm-hmm. I think that's what this meant.
I would totally agree with that. I do think that we, as humans, have a tendency to make our own plans and to come up with our own devices and then add the little tagline, "Lord, we just want you to be glorified."
Yeah. Would you please adopt your will to my desires?
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, good thoughts, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening to the Asking for a Friend podcast. If what you've heard today has been helpful to you, please subscribe. On behalf of the elders of BBC, I invite you to a worship service at Believers Baptist Church this coming Sunday. The Bible study hour begins at 9:15 and the worship service begins at 10:30. Grace and peace.